Good morning. Welcome, everyone, as we come to celebrate the risen Christ this Easter Sunday. Our service is led by Reverend James Skinner and includes Holy Communion. The readers are Fred and Linda, and the intercessional prayers are by Mike. At the end of the Lenten liturgy, after the floral crown is placed on the cross, please bring up your flowers to dress the cross. Please let us know if you'd like someone to take up the cross, the flowers to the cross in front, to the front of you. And if anyone else wants to help dress the cross while we're doing that, you'll be most welcome. Dorcas has been giving out eggs as you arrive. You are encouraged to write a prayer issue on the label while the cross is being dressed. The eggs can be taken home to use as a focus for prayer, but mention will be made during the intercessions of concerns that we might be writing on the labels. There will be people to pray with you or for you under the stained glass window following the service. Please use this opportunity to pray for anything, concerns, guidance, or express thanks. We started today's celebration with a wonderful breakfast, courtesy of Jonathan and Rachel and their helpers, Emily, Zara, and Ian and Dan, and we are very grateful to them all. It was wonderful. There is quite a lot of food left over, and you are encouraged to take some back home with you. There are boxes out there, so please take some as you go. We are really grateful and thankful to all who've put together and contributed to our worship during Holy Week. There have been many opportunities to reflect and pray together as we follow Christ's journey to the cross, culminating today in his joyful resurrection with the beautiful flowers. Next Sunday, our preacher is our friend Andrew Maisie, who is always such a joy to hear. We apologise if you were expecting the church email newsletter in your box or new notice sheet at the back of the church, as it's been delayed until next week. So, and finally, a reminder of the church AGM, which is in 2 weeks after the Sunday service on the 19th. There are some paper agendas for anyone who doesn't receive them by email. And I would like to draw your attention to our service on Sunday, the 26th of April, where the Reverend Inderjit Bogle will be preaching on the subject of Sanctuary Church. We are privileged to have the Reverend Inderjit Bogle preach. He is an ex-president's of conference, and he is coming especially to help us understand more about what Sanctuary Church means as we explore this concept further as a church family. Let us pray as we join together to worship. God, our Father, on this glorious Easter day, we come together to offer you praise and adoration for Jesus. Jesus risen, alive, powerful and victorious, the salvation of the world. Lord, without the resurrection of your Son, our faith would be empty and without hope. But he is alive, and we rejoice in the knowledge that in Jesus, all that separates, injures, and destroys has been overcome by that which unites, heals, and creates. Accept the praise and grateful thanks we offer you this morning. Renew and strengthen us. Inspire and fill us with your Spirit to live, talk, walk in your ways, and share the joyous celebration with all. We ask this in the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen. And now we go to the Garden of Resurrection.
I tread on the grass where the dew lies deep. And the air is clear and the world's asleep.
I tread on the grass where the dew, while the air is clear and the world's asleep. I tramp on the verge of an endless dawn, for I am the Lord of the morning. Morning! Darkness now has gone, and I am the Lord of the morning.
On this resurrection day, we transform the Lenten cross of suffering into the radiancy of the new life Christ has won for all who believe. We remove from the cross the bag of money, 30 pieces of silver, reminding us that we sold Christ for our own ends. We remove from the cross the bowl and the towel, which remind us that Jesus, the King of Heaven, became a servant to us all. We remove from the cross this cup, reminding us of Jesus' humanity, and that Jesus suffered for all humanity to enable our salvation. We remove the whip with which Jesus was tortured. We remove from the cross the crown of thorns with which you were humiliated. We remove from the cross the palm branches that remind us of the fickleness of the people who hailed Jesus as King, and just a week before they shouted, "Crucify." We remove the black cloth with which we covered the cross on Maundy Thursday in remembrance of all the things in the world that break your heart. And we remove the nails that held our Saviour to the tree. Very early on the Sunday morning, The women went to the tomb, carrying the spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the entrance to the tomb. So they went in, but they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. They stood there puzzled about this, when suddenly two men in bright shining clothes stood by them. Full of fear, the woman bowed to the ground as the men said to them, "Why are you looking among the dead for the one who is alive? He is not here. He has been raised." Let us now, as a congregation, with awe and wonder, transform the horror of the cross into the delight and radiancy, victory and triumph of the resurrection.
Hallelujah.
alive and comes to bring good news to this and every age, till earth and sky and ocean ring with joy, with justice, love and praise.
Can we start? Let's stand and sing together 309. See, what a morning, what a glorious, bright, with dawning of hope in Jerusalem. I say good morning and happy Easter to you all. It is wonderful. We have got a lovely collection of young people with us this morning. They're going to go and do their own things now. So let's just say a blessing before they come back. Blessing to be with them while they're away, and they'll come back for us for communion. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, bless our young people and bless their leaders. We ask that all of us together may discover more of your Easter joy and the truth of your Easter message this day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So Helen will lead anybody who'd like to go. You can stay or go as you please. Thanks to our dressers. Thank you very much indeed. And so we follow our liturgy now, and there are parts for each of us in turn, so please be attentive to when you come in. Early in the morning, dubious and doubting, we came to the garden. We didn't understand, but we found our hope rekindled. But instead, we encountered life Alleluia. Let us pray. Watching at the cross, we see the powerful reality of a life directed by love. Risen Jesus, we meet you in imagination, standing in the graveyard. May fear be thrown off, our lives energized, and our feet follow yours in the service of justice. Waiting by the tomb, we glimpse the challenging potential of a life constrained by love. Risen Jesus, as we meet you in the world, incarnated in others, may selfishness be defied, our hearts expanded, and our hands join with yours in the service of liberation. And walking in the garden, we encounter the vibrant possibilities of a life reborn through love. Risen Jesus, as we meet you beyond time, present in bread and wine, may what is wounded be healed through love, and what is mortal be transformed by life in the service of your kingdom. And now we share our confession with Almighty God. Jesus, through your committed living and dying, you showed us the possibilities of love and revealed the first fruits of your kingdom. We confess that all too often we have let self-preservation smother love and defy the rule of justice. Jesus, by your patient waiting in the tomb, you show us the possibilities of love and reveal the first fruits of your kingdom. We confess that all too easily we have let self-interest out-argue love and restrict the reach of liberation. Jesus, in your paradoxical rising from the dead, you show the possibilities of love and reveal the first fruits of your kingdom. We confess that all too readily we have let self-doubt keep love chained and deny the possibility of transformation. Jesus, incarnate love, committed, patient and free, your resurrection reminds us that the graveyard is also where life begins again. Meet us now in our place of death. Touch and transform us, that our lives too might witness the possibilities of love and bear the fruits of your kingdom. Amen. We now hear the Easter story as St. Matthew tells it.
Fred and I will be reading from Matthew 28, verses 1 to 20. The Resurrection of Jesus. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord, descending from heaven, came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has been raised from the dead, And indeed, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you. So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers and sisters to go to Galilee. There they will see me."
While they were going, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priest everything that had happened. After the priest had assembled with the elders, they devised a plan to give a large sum of money to the soldiers, telling them, "You must say, 'His disciples come by night and stole him away while we were asleep.' If this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep him out of trouble." So they took the money and did as they were directed. And this story is still told among the Judeans to this day.
Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but they doubted. And Jesus came to them and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Amen."
We sing the Easter hymn, "Christ the Lord is Risen."
Where's your victory, boasting praise?
Now going to hear what it might have been like for that first group of women when they went to the tomb on Easter morning.
What a morning. We were up early after the Sabbath rest to do the job that women always have done, as in life as in death, caring for bodies. There was quite a group of us. We'd had to watch the crucifixion at a distance, but now that we could come close to Jesus again, we wanted to do so as soon as we could. So, taking with us spices and perfume that we'd prepared, we went to the tomb. When we got there, the stone at the tomb's entrance had been rolled back. We thought perhaps there'd been another burial. But when we went in to find the body of Jesus, it wasn't there. We didn't know what to think or what to do next. And then two men came, two men in bright cloths, and spoke to us. "Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive?" Alive? But we'd seen his body taken down from the cross and laid in this tomb. It was incredible, unbelievable. And then they reminded us of Jesus' words, how he talked about what would happen to him, how he'd said that he would rise to life. When we talked to each other, we did remember him saying that. Could it be possible? There didn't seem a lot of point in staying in the graveyard, so we went and told the apostles what had happened. They said we were talking nonsense. Well, we knew that. They said they didn't believe us. Well, who would? And as for us quoting the words of Jesus to them, well, women interpreting the scriptures, whatever next. At least Peter tried to keep an open mind and went to the tomb to have a look for himself. He was as amazed as we were. Is Jesus alive? Is it possible? And if he's not in the tomb, where is he? What a morning it's been.
Thank you to all our readers. We usually think of Easter as a joyful season, celebrating Jesus' resurrection. It's easy to forget that the first Easter day was a day full of contrasting emotions. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. For I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come, see the place where he lay." Let's reflect on how the Easter story, according to Matthew, unfolds. First, there is the contrast of fear and joy. Easter Day began on a far from happy note. We can forget that it began with sadness and fear. The fear of the women going to the tomb of a dead criminal in the eyes of the authorities. Suspicion might be attached to their visit. They might be watched. On reaching the tomb, they found a stone rolled away, the tomb empty. Fear of the unexpected. No body of Jesus to be seen. Fear or awe created by the presence of the angel. Think back to those Christmas stories, the shepherds on first hearing of the good news of Christ's birth. They too were afraid. The fear of the women when they unexpectedly met Jesus on the way home. And then there's the fear of the guards when the earthquake happens. Matthew alone, in both his accounts of Jesus' death and resurrection, highlights the cosmic significance of the two events. These are truly earth-shattering events. During the crucifixion, darkness covers the earth following Jesus' death. There is an earthquake and the opening of the tombs. In the resurrection account, the earthquake is accompanied by the appearance of the bright light. All these things are signs of God's victory. But the initial reaction of those who witnessed them was fear, not really understanding what was happening. The disciples and the women did not first believe that Jesus had risen. They were still knocked out by Good Friday and all that had happened. They hardly had come to terms with Jesus' death. And the Easter morning events completely foxed them. Only as Easter Day unfolded did their fear start to change to joy. When they began to realize they were talking with Jesus alive again. The power of Jesus' resurrection quells fears, including the fear of death. It reinstates fragile people. For Christ has now shared all aspects of our human existence, even passing through the shadow of the valley of death. The note of fear eventually turning to joy. And then secondly, the fact that Easter happened at all. The expected and the unexpected. Incredulity. People executed the day before yesterday, certified dead, don't generally disappear from their tomb without any evidence of their mortal remains being found. Jesus' friends came to the grave, fully expecting to finish anointing a body. And Matthew's account includes several happenings not found in the other Gospels. The earthquake, the angel of the Lord rolling the stone away, the soldiers who were guarding the tomb running away in terror. These events were probably included to underline that it was God at work in the raising of Jesus. Like many today, Jesus' contemporaries found the resurrection hard to come to terms with. It was so unexpected. The disciples were amongst the most skeptical. They had come to know Jesus as a person they'd shared their life with for 3 years. But now they came to know him in a completely different way as their risen, ascended Lord. for all the drama of Matthew's account. The things we should note above all else are the words of the Easter message. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know you are looking for Jesus who is crucified. He's not here. He has risen just as he said. Come see the place where he lay." So the expected and the unexpected, the fact that it happened at all. And then Easter's story turns the world's values upside down. The resurrection turns things upside down in two ways. First, by happening, but secondly, in the people who were the first to find out that it had happened. The people who heard the gospel stories would be amazed that the risen Jesus first appeared to women. And it's common to all the resurrection stories that a group of women who followed Jesus about during his earthly ministry went early to anoint the body in the tomb, only to find it empty. It was the women who were instructed to tell the disciples that the tomb was empty, that Jesus was risen. And at that time, a woman's testimony counted for nothing, even in the law courts. Yet they represented the humble followers of Jesus who first experienced the joy of meeting the risen Lord. So the Easter story turns the world's values up. And then the fourth reflection is that the Easter story concludes with a commission. Easter is not the end of the story, but it's another beginning. The end of Jesus' earthly ministry, yes, but also the start of something new for Jesus in glory, but also for his disciples then and for us now. So Matthew's gospel, straight after the Easter events, concludes with Jesus giving his disciples the great commission to go to continue the work. The disciples are not discarded as failures. They're sent out to be witnesses to what they have seen and heard, to spread to others the message Jesus brought to them. But one strange thing about the resurrection events is that so few people witnessed them. Only those close to Jesus were aware what had happened. Henri Nouwen, who was a Catholic priest from Belgium, I think, in his book, Our Greatest Gift, reflects, "The resurrection of Jesus is a hidden event. Jesus didn't rise from the dead to prove to those who had crucified him that they made a mistake or confound his opponents. Nor did he rise to impress the rulers of his time or to force anyone to believe. Jesus' resurrection was the full affirmation of his Father's love. And so he showed himself to those who knew about his love. He made himself known as the risen Lord only to a handful of his close friends. And there's probably no event in human history that has had such importance while remaining at the same time so unspectacular that the world didn't notice it. Only those few to whom Jesus had chosen to show himself and to whom he wanted to send out to announce God's love to the world, just as he had done." God does commission us to tell others about the Lord's life, his death, his resurrection, until he comes in glory, and to enable all people to meet the risen Lord. One of the best ways we can do this and show Jesus is alive, working among us, is the way in which we live together as the Christian family. In the way that we love and respect each other, and those we meet daily. So, four reflections on Easter according to Matthew. The note of fear turning to joy. The fact that it happened at all. The turning upside down of the world's values. And we're sent out with a commission to tell others. The angel said to the women, "Don't be afraid, for I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He has risen. Just come see the place where he lay." Easter is a day of contrasts, fear and joy, the unexpected and the expected. The people the risen Jesus appeared to, then trusted to spread the message of what had happened. There are some things we can never find a wholly rational explanation for. But one of the clearest indications of the truth of the resurrection is to be found in the book of the Acts. Because in that book we see a group of disciples whose lives have been totally changed, who've been turned upside down from a timid, fearful band into a group of people ready to risk everything. And the Easter message for our time is still, God is continually at work, removing fear, still turning lives upside down, if only we're ready to let him have a chance. Are you? If you are, your life will never be the same again, and you won't forget it. Amen. Going on the theme of transformation, but before we sing, we're going to share our affirmation. We believe that Jesus, God unbound, directed by love, accepted restraint, and lived a full human life to bring the healing of the world. Alleluia. We wonder and we affirm it. We believe that Jesus, God unbounded, sustained by love, accepted restraint and died on the cross to draw the sting of death. Alleluia. With faith we accept it. And we believe that Jesus, God unbounded, empowered by love, accepted restraint and was entombed to break the grip of evil. Alleluia. With confidence, we believe it. We believe that Jesus, God unbounded, directed, sustained, and empowered by love, threw off all restraint and to transform the world through life. Alleluia. With joy, we proclaim it. And now we sing the hymn about the transforming effect of the resurrection. Christ has risen while earth slumbers.
Silenced by the
loss and limitation, where their faith had once burnt bright, they begun what is no longer, they expect no hopeful sign, till Christ ends their conversation, breaking bread and sharing wine. Christ has risen and forever lives to challenge and to change all the messed or mangled, all who find religion strange. Christ is risen, Christ is present, making us what he has been, evidence of transformation in what love is, learn and sing.
Now we come to our prayers of intercession, to which there's a response. When I say, Lord, touch these people with your love, will you please respond and transform them with your life? Lord, touch these people with your love and transform them with your life. Let us pray. We pray for an end to the wars between Ukraine and Russia, America, Israel, and Iran. We pray that the leaders of these and all warring nations will be touched by your sanity, will pause in their manic drive for power, and realize that yours was, is, and will ever be a greater majesty. We pray that you will help them to understand and repent the misery their actions are inflicting on many millions of people. We pray too for your persecuted church across the world, that your hand may be seen at work bringing peace where there are wars, eradicating the genocide which is sweeping across Africa and terrorism all over the world. May we all be still and know that you are God, that our time is but a moment in your vast eternity, and that we must use it wisely for the future of those who come after us. Lord, touch these people with your love and transform them with your life. We pray for relief for all throughout the world who live in poverty, and that all who are hungry may be fed. Millions across the world live on the brink of famine. We ask your blessing on the charities, aid agencies, and project partners working tirelessly to feed so many. And we pray that even though what we donate to charities individually may amount to no more than a drop in the ocean, we will continue to donate to those many worthy causes to swell that ocean with our giving and our prayers, in the hope that those who have nothing may receive at least the very basics on which to live. Lord, touch these people with your love and transform them with your life. We pray for all those we know who are ill, for those who are troubled, those wrestling with depression or grief, those who flounder in the pit of loneliness, those many who have yet to know that you alone are Lord. There will be names on each of our hearts. In a few moments of silence, let us lift them to you and ask that you will visit them and wrap your loving and healing arms around them. Lord, touch these people with your love and transform them with your life. We pray for ourselves and for each other, that the great blessing of Easter may resound in our hearts and lives, not only for today, but for our time ahead. May we each cast off our prejudices and through your grace be at peace with all those we meet. Examine ourselves and ask you to show us what we must do to call ourselves Christians and be worthy followers of you. Lord, touch us with your love and transform us with your life. Amen. And now we will have a short time of to reflect on the prayers we've written on our eggs. And we say together the prayer our Saviour taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, power, and glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
In a short time, we welcome back our children to join us for communion. The Lord's table is open to all those who truly love him, those who wish to get to know him. Come and receive when the steward indicates to you that it is your turn. Here are the words of the invitation. We stand in the resurrection garden of God, a place suffused and shaped by love and ripe with its potential. And this is the table of the risen Jesus, a place fashioned and furnished by love and rich with its promises. So come, whether you have seen and believed or are dubious and doubting still, whether you confess confidently or with a fragile, fearful heart, come and share these gifts of grace, encounter Christ and be healed by love and transformed by life. We sing our communion hymn, Lo, in the Grave He Lay.
He rose a victor.
Before the bright dawn in the garden, in which love was resurrected, before the cold silence of the tomb, by which love was swallowed, before the black horror of the cross, on which love was broken, before the bitter struggle of another garden, through which love affirmed its choices, Jesus, eating a final supper with his friends, blessed and broke bread, and poured out a cup of wine, sharing these tokens with them as confirmation of the life he had lived and a sign of what was to come. So we too, recalling that moment and honouring that life, take and break this bread and pour out this wine as confirmation and sign that we are part of its ongoing story, and remembering with wonder and joy that love, though broken on the cross, was not defeated, and though swallowed by death, was not silenced, but lives unvanquished and speaks still and to all words of welcome, healing and hope. And we join our voices with that of creation and with all those who bear witness across the world and throughout the ages to the transforming power of God's love and life, as we say together, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. As we remember and rejoice, send down your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and wine. And that we may once again encounter love and be transformed by life. And now we come to the peace. After the words of the peace, I suggest you just greet those immediately near you with a sign. May the peace of a resurrected Jesus, the challenging peace of committed life, the liberating peace of selfless love, the vibrant peace of new possibility, recall you to radical living. The liberating peace of selfless love, the vibrant peace of new possibility, recall you to radical living and empower your rich loving and transform you with radiant joy. So let us share that peace with those near to us. Jesus, love resurrected, comes to us now in the garden, offering these signs of healing and hope, and calling us onwards to transformation. Can those who are going to assist first come and receive communion, please? So to our closing words. Jesus, love resurrected, has met us once again in the garden and touched and transformed us with life. Alleluia. With joy we accept it. Jesus, life in all its fullness, now calls us onwards into the powerful reality, the challenging potential, and the vibrant possibilities of the life in his kingdom. Alleluia. With conviction, we live it. We invite you to stay for some refreshments, which will be on hand in the coffee bar afterwards. But before we do that, we go out on the words of the hymn, the day of resurrection, earth tell it out abroad. Blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, remain with us this Easter day and forevermore. Amen.